Antarctica and Itana bring you the biggest money-paying show on the air, Break the Bank. I broke the bank for $1,500.
I broke the bank for $1,780.
I broke the bank for $2,900. Break the Bank! Friends, this is Gwen Elliott. Welcome to our new daytime Break the Bank program, brought to you every weekday, Monday through Friday, and presented today by Bristol Myers, makers of those two famous products, Sal Hepatica, the antacid laxative, and True Shade, the beforehand lotion that helps keep busy hands lovely, too. Sal Hepatica and True Shade. And now, with exactly $1,350 in cash to start today's bank, here is your quizmaster, Bud Collier. Thanks, everybody, and a very, very good morning to you. Here we are with another of our daily Break the Bank shows. Now, as you undoubtedly know by this time, Break the Bank is brought to you every day now, Monday through Friday, that is, at the same time. And we sure hope you'll become a regular listener as we bring you all the fun, the excitement, and the entertainment of Break the Bank. Now, this is kind of a good chance for you to take a little rest from your busy morning schedule, so just make it a habit to join us, won't you? And now, Wynn, let's meet our first contestants, may we?
You said fun and excitement and
That's
all
right.
that kind of thing.
That's right.
Well, our first two contestants are Mr. and Mrs. Robert Gagne. They come from Springfield, Massachusetts, and they just got married Saturday.
Well, welcome to Great Science. Hiya there, Mr. Gagne. Am I pronouncing that right? How do you pronounce your name?
Gagne.
G-O-N-Y-E-A. Is that right?
And bride, how are you? Oh, she's a little one. She's way down here. Wait till I bring the mic down to you.
No, don't you lift her up now. I want to warn you, Mr. Gagne, you got to watch this guy. He has a soft spot in his heart for all the pretty gals on the show. We have to kind of keep an eye on him, see? So you better put your arm around your bride right now. Forestall any funny stuff. Oh, you moved into that arm as though you're right familiar there. Looks like you are. How long did you know each other before you got married? You answer that, Mr. Gagne.
2 years.
2 years. Where did you meet him?
General Fiber Box in West Springfield.
Come a little closer. Where?
General Fiber Box in West Springfield.
You met him in a box?
Fiber box.
In a fiber box?
Company.
Oh, in the company. Oh, I thought, you know, you, people meet in funny places. I didn't know. Was it love at first sight?
Yes.
It was. Was it for you, Bob?
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Boy, you know, let's not have any discrepancies here at this point. Well, now, how do you think the marriage is going to work out? You've been married a whole week? How about it, Ms. Gagne?
Oh, I hope it works out.
Well, I hope it does, too. I mean, give it a fair try. How about you, Bob? Is she cooking for you yet?
Not yet. I haven't had a chance.
I see. That may change your mind about a few things. I don't know, but we hope it won't. Well, now, before we start on your category, Wynn, suppose you step in here and tell our listeners and our newlyweds how Break the Bank works, will you?
Yeah, step aside, old man. You know, all our contestants are selected from the studio audience just before we go on the air, and then they choose a category from our list. The number one question is worth $10, then $20, $30, $50, $100, $200, $300, and then the Break the Bank question, which is always worth $500 or more. And every time that bank is broken, we start the bank going again with a new $500. Okay, bud.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Gagne, remember, if you make one mistake, you merely slip back a step. But if you make two mistakes, you get paid off wherever you are, and Truchet and Talapatica add a like amount to the bank. Now, as Wynn told you, the bank is worth $1,350, and I imagine you could use a little of that folding stuff. You've chosen make-believe people as your category, so we're going to slip off into the land of make-believe, where I guess you've kind of been living for the last 6 weeks or so, especially when you're getting ready to get married, and meet up with some of the characters you'd find there. Okay, for $10, here's a make-believe youngster. A fat little cherub you ought to be familiar with who always plays darts with hearts. Who is this little fellow with a bow and arrow?
Dan Cupid.
Dan Cupid is right. And it buries her face in his broad, manly bosom here. Okay, you're at $10, reaching for $20. Dan Cupid's a real young fella. Now, let's go to meet a real old fella. He's got a long beard, dressed up in something that looks like an old-fashioned nightshirt, and instead of a bow and arrow, he carries a scythe over his shoulder. What's
Father
he called?
Time.
Father Time is right. You got $20. Hey, look at here, Bob. She's making all the money here. How come?
She got the brains of the family.
All right, you're at $20, folks. You're reaching now for $30. Here is a song sung by a number of make-believe characters in a famous movie fairy tale. Listen to the tune and tell me what the characters were called. All right, Lou? The Seven Dwarfs is right. Seven Dwarfs, you're at $30 now, reaching for $50. Men who sailed the briny deep used to say that there was a make-believe fellow at the bottom of the sea who always provided a resting place for sailors. What's his name?
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones, yes, ma'am. All right, closer now, $50 reaching for $100, you have made no mistake so far. Tell me, was it a large wedding, Miss Gagne?
It was a fairly large one.
Fairly large? Were you very nervous?
Yes.
You were. How about it? Were you nervous too, Bob?
I was shaking.
You were shaking, uh-huh.
Just like now, yeah.
Just like you're shaking now. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Guiney here at $50, reaching for $1,350 in our Shrouche and Talapatica Bank. Here's the musical clue now to a make-believe character. I'll tell you this much. He's a man. You tell me where he lives. Okay, Lou? In the moon. Now have earned yourselves $100. You're reaching for $200. This is an easy way to make money, don't you think, Bob? Huh? How about it, Miss Gagne? You like this way?
Yes.
All you have to do now is just keep on answering questions, and in a very few minutes, we hand you $1,350.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that. That's right. All right, now let's go along with some more make-believe characters. You're reaching for $200, a name that is symbolic of lady lawyers. Today came from a make-believe character in Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice. This lady disguised herself as a lawyer and won that famous case involving the pound of flesh. Remember? What was her name? Famous lady lawyer in The Merchant of Venice by William Shakespeare. Pound of flesh, Shylock, and all that. What was her name? You have 5 more seconds, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Gagne of Springfield, Massachusetts.
I'll take a guess. Venus?
No, I'm sorry. It was Portia. Portia's who it was. But that's right. Stay around here. Don't walk away, boy. Put your arm around her again there. You're at $50 again, but you're coming back up the line. Let's see if you can recoup that $50 loss. Here's another make-believe character now, reaching again for $100. The Wizard of Oz is a make-believe person who has delighted countless youngsters. Now, in the famous movie, The Wizard of Oz, you remember it, Miss Gagne? Okay. It starred Judy Garland. What star of the screen played the part of Professor Marvel, the wizard? No, no. You want to take a guess? I'll give you a guess, too, since you're newlyweds. How about it? How about it? Famous movie actor and screen actor, too. I mean, a stage actor, too. You know who it was?
Bert.
No, I'm sorry. It was Frank Morgan. Frank Morgan, too. Now, wait a minute. Don't run away until we say goodbye to you. He is so anxious to get away from me. Because you two, along with having a very happy honeymoon, we hope that you have a very, very happy married life. God bless you both. You've nevertheless won yourselves from Truche and Salopatica $50. Go over to Janice, our favorite. Hey, Wynn,
yeah.
Did I hear you and this little lady say something about women who lead double lives?
Well, Bud, we were really talking about women's hands leading double lives.
Mm-hmm, including mine. Think of all those homekeeping jobs our hands are busy with each day. Dishwashing, cleaning, laundry. Why, they're in and out of hot, soapy water half the day, it seems.
That's rough on those precious hands, isn't it?
Especially when you want to dress up and go glamorous in the evening. But thanks to a marvelously different idea in hand care, I, for one, never worry.
Well, you better explain that to our listeners, ma'am.
I'd love to. There's a lotion made especially for hands that lead a double life. It's Truche, the beforehand lotion. You see, Truche stops the damage before it starts, because you smooth it on beforehand, before you do dishes, before all of your soap and water jobs. Truche guards hands even in hot, soapy water. Actually helps prevent soap and water's drying damage.
And Truche softens and smooths your hands while you work, too. You can depend on this creamy, fragrant lotion to bring new loveliness to your hands. So get the lotion that will help you to lead a more glamorous double life. Get Truche, the beforehand lotion. Truche.
The bank is drawn right up there now because Truche and Salopatica added a like amount to the bank when Mr. and Mrs. Gagne won $50 and it's now up to the sum of $1,400. Wynn, who are the next ones who'd like to break our bank?
All the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Bud. It's Mr. and Mrs. Elvin Danielson. Meet Bud Carter.
Well, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Danielson. Hi. Welcome to Break the Bank. Nice to meet you both.
Nice
right,
here.
Smiling people.
How are you, Bud?
You're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wynn.
Thank you. I'll leave.
All right. There you go again. His arm around you pretty wise, you see. I was out in Milwaukee not too long ago. I want to tell you, that's one of the friendliest towns I was ever in. Have you found it that way?
Well, we have quite a reputation for that.
I want to say they were sure wonderful to me. Believe me, everywhere you went, they just couldn't be more helpful and more cooperative. Have you two lived out there all your lives?
Yes, we have.
You have? And you've been married how long?
3 years last June.
Come in a little closer. We can hear me, would you? 3 years last June. Do you have any children?
No, we don't.
What is it you do, Elvin?
I'm a sales engineer for Al's Chalmers.
Are you?
That's right.
Like your job?
Very much.
Like your wife?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Danielson, married 3 years from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You have selected a category, I don't know why, called lost loves. Yours certainly isn't lost. That's why I asked you that. All the world may love a lover, but nothing can start the tears of flowing quite, I guess, like the story of a lover who's cast aside for another. So let's see how well you two folks know some of the lost loves of song, story, and real life. Now, for $10, in a famous series of Bob Hope Bing Crosby pictures, like The Road to Morocco, The Road to Utopia, one guy always got the gal. The other always lost her. Who always lost the gal, Hope or Crosby? I hope you get this one.
Yes,
Bob Hope.
I...
Bob Hope is right. You're at $10 now, reaching for $20. Mr. and Mrs. Elvin Danielson of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The harmony was close and sad when the barbershop quartet sang about this guy who lost his gal. Listen while Lou White plays it, and you tell me the name of the tune, okay? All right, Lou. Somebody stole my gal. Is right. There's $20 now. Reaching for 30, and there is $1,400 in our Truche and Sal Hepatica bank. Here's a song that shrieks of a lost love. Play it, Lou.
The one that is
guy shrieking of a lost love
to somebody else.
That's right. All right. What's before that now? Who is your wife? Who is she?
The gal.
She's the one you what?
The one I love.
All right. Go on. That a boy. All right, now we gave you a helping hand there. You're at $30, reaching for 50. See if you can come along on your own from here on. A former Harvard student recently made headlines when he lost his lady love to the king of Egypt. Tell me the name of the king who won the girl. What's the king of Egypt's name?
King Farouk
is right. 100. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Danielson, you've made no mistake so far. Tell me, Mr. Danielson, does your wife cook for you?
Oh, yes, and a very good cook.
She is. What's your favorite dish that she fixes for you?
She can broil steaks the way they should be.
She can.
Yeah.
How do you do it, Mrs. Danielson?
Oh, just heat up the oven real well and put it 4 inches from the broiler and 7 minutes on each side.
How about that? Isn't that wonderful?
Good.
You don't find that uncomfortable, huh? Turning over from one side to the other while you take it, broiler? Doesn't bother you.
Well, I don't crawl in with the...
Oh, you don't, huh? All right, Ms. Danielson, let's move along now. You're at $50, reaching for $100. Olivia de Havilland won an Academy Award as the lady who lost her love the night she was supposed to elope with him. When her lover finally decides to come back, years later, she throws him over. Now, what was the name of this picture about lost love and revenge, starring Olivia de Havilland and Montgomery Clift? What was the name?
Revenge.
I'm sorry, it happened to be The Heiress.
Oh.
You remember that now? Yes. It was based on the novel Washington Square. Well, now, don't be downhearted, George. $30, you've only gone back one step. Let's see if we can move back up the line. Okay, Mr. and Ms. Danielson?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Here we go. A famous Puccini opera tells about Cho Cho San, who loves and loses the American naval officer Lieutenant Pinkerton. For about lost love by Puccini.
All the way?
No, do you want to take a guess before your husband gets one of? Oh, come on, madam. Come on, madam. I'm sure you can do it. Madam Butterfly. Not a butterfly. You're strictly on your own. You're strictly on your own from here on. I want to warn you. That's the most we can do for you. Mr. and Mrs. Danielson, the only thing that bothers me is I said, you surely ought to know this one, madam, and he answered.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. $50 reaching for $100, $1,400 in our Truche and Sal Hepatica bank in a famous musical play about the South. The crippled hero loses his gal to a character named Fortin Light. She runs off to New York with him when he sings, "There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York." What is this famous musical called? Big hit. Beg pardon?
Showboat?
No, I'm sorry. It was Porgy and Bess.
Oh.
Porgy and Bess. But Mr. and Mrs. Danielson, it's been nice having you visit us here from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Keep up that good cooking for him there.
Oh,
God bless you both. Truche and Sal Hepatica take great pleasure in awarding you $50. Go to Janice, our great seller, and tonight. Well, the bank is growing up there by $50 leaps and bounds. It's now up at the sum of $1,450. Who's next, Win?
A couple of tars from the United States Navy, bud. Vincent Oletta, he comes from Astoria, Long Island. And Edward Whitebread, he comes from Syracuse, New York.
Well, I reckon they'd like to get a hold of some of that money. Hiya, boys. Which one is Vincent Oletta?
Hi,
Vincent. Welcome to Break the Bank. And then you, of course, then are Edward Whitbread or Whitebread?
Whitbread.
Whitbread, I see. All right. It's just the E is missing. That's the only thing that makes a difference in Whitebread, isn't it? Where is your home originally, Vincent?
Well, Bridgeport, Connecticut is originally, but now I'm living in Astoria because my wife is staying near Brooklyn. You know,
I see. How long have you been married?
4 years.
How many children?
Yeah, 5-month-old daughter.
Oh, wonderful. What's her name?
Jeanette.
You see this guy grin when he talks about it. How about you, Ed? Do you have any children?
No, sir.
No.
I've been married 4.5 years.
You have, I see. And is your wife living down where you can be with her, or is she
up
to...
No, she's up in Syracuse.
Oh, that's too bad. How long do you expect to be away now?
A year or so.
Yes, you just don't know, do you? It makes it kind of tough on Navy or Army wives. Wynn, what are you here for? No pretty girls here right
now. Well, I just feel so sorry about calling this chap Whitebread.
Oh, I see. Well, you just make a wry face and go over and sit in the corner, huh? All right. We're off. You'll excuse me for that, won't you, Vincent and Ed, please? All right, X marks the spot as your category. There's $1,450 in our Truce and Talapatica Bank. And in this category, X marks the spot, we're going to see how much you know about certain famous spots in real life song and story. Now, for $10, let's see if you fellas can put an X on the spot in the town of Blarney, in the castle of Blarney, where you might acquire the gifts of Gab and Blarney by kissing the Blarney what?
Stone.
That was top one. All right, for $20 now, you're at $10. What island paradise is suggested by the song Lou White is coming up with now? X marks the spot for us, okay, Lou?
Hawaii
Island. Hawaii, okay. Beach and Waikiki. All right, you're at $20 now, reaching for $30, fellas. X marks the spot where the old lady in the nursery rhyme lived. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Where'd she live?
In a shoe.
In a shoe, right? All right, $30 now, reaching for $50, Vincent Auletta and Edward Whitbread, United States Navy. This next tune will X out a spot where you might be meeting your sweetheart. Listen and tell me where that would be. All right, Lou?
Dreamland,
you got it, boy. For 100, you fellas have made no mistake so far. You're moving up in fine, speedy style here. Now, the eruption of fiery Mount Vesuvius completely buried a famous Italian city in the year 79 A.D.
Pompeii,
before he even got to the question. $100 now, reaching for 200. Can you put an X on the street where fiction's most famous sleuth, Sherlock Holmes, hung his hat? In better words, name the street where Holmes lived in the popular Conan Doyle series. This is one that you certainly ought to know, Ed. You really ought to know it. The audience knows why you ought to... Where?
Baker
Street is right.
Oh, boy, love it. I saw him, Whitebread.
Win. Oh, I tell you, he's going to keep on calling you Whitebread, you know? That guy Elliot has got more crust. All right, let's go. Here we... You're now at $200. You're reaching for $300, which is the gateway to the bank. In other words, if you two men answer two more questions correctly, Truchet and Sal Hepatica will award you $1,450. All right, now, audience, from this point on, please, no helping, no coaching from the audience, and to you two boys, I can accept only one answer. You may talk it over first among yourselves, but the first answer I hear, I must accept, okay? All right, here we go. Let's see if you can X the spot here where Napoleon Bonaparte met his Waterloo. It was at a place named Waterloo. In what country? No help from the audience now. Talk it over among yourselves and make sure first. In what country? Go ahead, you whisper to each other. Talk it over.
France.
France? No, I'm sorry. It was in Belgium. In Belgium. Is that what you thought originally?
No,
you both thought France. All right, well, now you're back to $100. Let's come back up the line. Okay, fellas? In the Gulliver's Travels, now this is going to be a tough one for you to think back to the time you read this story in your childhood, maybe. The land of the tiny people was known as the land of Lilliput. Now, X marks the spot of the land of the giants in Gulliver's Travels. Name that. Lilliput was the name of the town, the land of the tiny people. What was the name of the land of the giants in Gulliver's Travels? 5 more seconds. Vincent Auletta and Edward Whitbread, United States Navy. The tough one. Brobdignag. Brobdignag. You mean you never heard of it? What? It's amazing. Hello, fella.
Double cook.
Why, sure, you know how to spell it and everything, I'm sure. Well, anyway, Vincent and Ed, I want to tell you it's been a great pleasure having you as our guests here on Break the Bank this morning. Sorry you couldn't break the bank, but you nevertheless have won from Truchet and Sal Hepatica $100. God bless you both. Go over to Jennifer.
You know, it's preserving time, and lots of homemakers are busy with jellies and jams.
But listen to this lady's lament.
Oh, me. Lois promised to help me make grape jelly today. And now she just doesn't feel up to it. Why doesn't she quit taking those slow-acting laxatives?
Mm-hmm. Good way to put it, those slow-acting laxatives. You know, when folks need a laxative, taking a slow-acting laxative only prolongs the misery, makes them suffer from laxative lag. Now, you can save yourself many hours of discomfort by taking gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. Yes, you can avoid laxative lag with Sal Hepatica, and here's how. Take Sal Hepatica in the morning when you awaken, and get gentle, speedy relief usually within an hour. Or take Sal Hepatica in the evening a half hour before supper and get relief before bedtime. That's the way, morning or night, you can avoid laxative lag with gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. Try Sal Hepatica, and remember when you do, there's no need to clutter up your medicine cabinet. You need only one laxative and acid Sal Hepatica. Whether the need for a laxative accompanies a cold or causes a headache, a sour stomach, or results from overindulgence, you need only gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. Get a bottle today. Sal Hepatica.
Took a good healthy jump that time. $1,550 when our two sailor boys won themselves $100 to split between them. Who are our next would-be bank breakers, Win?
Rather unusual couple, I'm afraid, Bud. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Todd Burke, and I said, is this your wife, Mr. Burke? And he says, my favorite one.
All right, Win, let's meet the people.
They right come there, from Palm Beach, Florida.
Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to Break the Bank. What do you mean by that, Mr. Burke?
Well, the only one I have, so she must be my favorite.
Well, we put you in a spot there. You can explain that to Mrs. Burke when you get home. I'm not gonna pull that one out any longer. You're from Palm Beach, Florida. And what do you do, Mr. Burke?
I'm in the restaurant business, or were in the restaurant. Was in the restaurant business until I was retired.
Yes, I see. And what are you doing now? Are you just retired, or are you...
Well, doing a little bit of business in real estate.
I see. Just kind of keep your hand active. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Did you have your own restaurant down there?
We did, yes.
How about you, Ms. Burke? Did you help him in the restaurant business? What'd you do?
I was the garde manger.
The what?
The garde manger.
Oh, yes, sure. Of course. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Burke, you have selected Mr. Garde Manger, Mr. President. So we are going to give you a chance to barnstorm these questions about the great men who piloted our ship of state. Which one of you is the pilot in your home?
I'm afraid, Mr. Burke.
You're afraid, Mr. Burke. Tell me, Mrs. Burke, has he stopped beating you?
He never did.
Oh, he never did. That's one I didn't think she could crawl out of quite that easily. Mr. Burke, how long have you been married?
Between 30 and 35 years. Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
31.
It's 30... years. How long has it seemed, Mr. Burke?
Well, it doesn't seem like yesterday. It's just a little while.
There's a diplomat. Mr. Burke, you missed your calling. The United Nations could use you right now. All right, you selected Mr. President. We're going to give you a chance to go around about these great men who, as I said before, piloted our ship of state. And here's a quickie for you for $10. Name the only living ex-president of the United States.
Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover, and a fine man he is. All right. For $20 now, although he never lived in the White House, he laid the cornerstone for that famous building. Can you give me the name of this man, the only president of the United States who never lived in the White House?
Thomas Jefferson.
No, wait a minute now. He's the only one who never lived in the White House. The only one. Every other man but one lived in the White House.
George Washington.
In fact, he threw a dollar across the Potomac.
George Washington is right.
All right, yes, sir. You are now at $20, reaching for $30. Tell me this time the name of the first president who did live in the White House. He was our second president. The second president. He moved into the White House in November 1800. First year Congress convened in Washington. The city became...
John Adams.
John Adams is right, sir. You're at $30, reaching now for $50. One of our great military presidents is buried on Riverside Drive here in New York. His two... You want to say who it is? Go ahead.
Ulysses Simpson Grant.
Ulysses Simpson Grant knows the whole name.
That's right.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Todd Burke of Palm Beach, Florida. You are now at $50, reaching for $100. You have made no mistake so far. There's $1,550 in our Truche and Sal Hepatica Bank. Although a man needs to be only 35 years old to become president of the United States, only one has taken office under 45. Our youngest president was inaugurated when he was 42 years old. He was our 26th president, who inherited the title when President McKinley was assassinated. What was his name?
Theodore Roosevelt.
Theodore Roosevelt is right, Mr. Burke. For $100, $100 now, reaching for 200. Seven is a lucky number for the Andrews. As you know, Andrew Jackson was our seventh president. Another Andrew was our 17th president. He was vice president under Lincoln, succeeded to the presidency upon Lincoln's tragic death. Give me his name. Andrew Jackson was one. Who was the other Andrew?
Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson is right, sir. $100 now, reaching for 300. Again, we find ourselves at a position of you trying for the gateway to the bank. Two more questions with correct answers, and we will award you $1,550 from our Truchet and Salafatica Bank. At this point, Mrs. Burke passes her hand across her brow and looks a little bit worried. All right, now, our first seven presidents were born before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Hence, they were actually born British subjects. You understand? Okay, now, our eighth president was the first to be born an American citizen. Who was he? No help from the audience now. From this point on, especially, one answer from you is all I can accept. Mr. and Mrs. Burke, talk it over among yourselves if you want to. Our eighth president, the first one to be born an American citizen, who was he? Five more seconds.
Zachary Taylor?
No, sir, I'm sorry. It was Martin Van Buren. Martin Van Buren, but that's only one mistake. You slipped back to $100. Let's see if we can climb right back up there toward that bank. Now, reaching for 200 again, in 1916, President Wilson proclaimed the Star Spangled Anthem, but it required an act of Congress to make it legal. Now, who was President of the United States when, by an act of Congress, the Star Spangled Banner was legally designated as our national anthem? It was simply proclaimed by President Wilson, but later it required an act of Congress to make it legal. Who was President then?
Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover is right, sir. You come back up to $200. All right, here we are again now. Remember, from this point on, one answer only. We all know that Franklin D. Roosevelt spent the longest term in the White House. But can you tell me who spent the shortest term as President of the United States? He caught pneumonia during the inauguration and died a month later after serving only 31 days as president. Who was it?
William Henry Harrison.
William Henry Harrison is right there. All right, folks, this is it. This is it now. A right answer to this question will bring Mr. and Mrs. Burke $1,550. If not, they get paid off at 300. Here it is. George Washington was the only president ever elected unanimously by the Electoral College. One other president received every vote but one. A New Hampshire elector cast that one vote for another candidate so that Washington would remain the only president unanimously chosen. This was in the election of 1820. Tell me the name of the man who received every electoral vote but one. No help from the audience now, Mr. and Mrs. Todd Burke of Palm Beach, Florida. Five more seconds to go. Who was it? How about it, Mr. Burke? Mrs. Burke? Time's running out. Take a guess. Oh, I'm sorry. It was James Monroe. James Monroe. But you folks have done very well here today. Truchet and Salopatica take great pleasure in awarding you $300. Bless you both. Go to Janice, our famous teller, and collect.
Well, friends, as you can imagine, we've had lots of fun here today. So may I suggest that you join us again tomorrow when our bank opens at $1,850. Well, Break the Bank is brought to you by the makers of Salopatica and Ipana. Salopatica, the antacid laxative, and Truchet, the before-hand lotion that helps keep busy hands lovely, too. Now, a brief word about another fine Bristol-Myers product.
Taxi, mister?
Yes. Would you take me to...
Resist that. Thank you. And you know, that's really excellent advice whenever you feel a cold coming on. Because Resistab, Bristol-Myers' wonderful new antihistamine, may completely check your cold symptoms in the very first hours. A large-scale test shows that 7 out of 10 people obtain definite relief from cold symptoms by taking this identical Resistab formula promptly. Doctors know Resistab is safe for your family. Just follow directions on the package. Ask your druggist today for Resistab.
Now, this is Bud Collier saying so long for Win Elliott, Lou White, and our Break the Bank gang. But you be sure to come back tomorrow for more Break the Bank.
So yes, in fact, come back every weekday morning for a full hour and a half of laughter, cash, and prizes in three great NBC programs. Welcome travelers from Chicago, Double or Nothing on many of these stations from Hollywood, and Break the Bank from New York.